Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also put away your sin. You shall not die. This is our text. My dear friends, there's a story told about a little boy that was seen by his neighbor digging out in the backyard. The neighbor was curious, so walked over to ask him, what are you doing? And the little boy's response was, I'm burying my goldfish and I'm having a funeral. And the neighbor looked at him and said, that's a mighty big hole for a goldfish. And as the boy tamped down the last of the dirt upon the gravesite, he says, yeah, it's because it was in your cat. Have you ever done something deplorable, despicable, disgraceful, that the guilt of that sin still weighs on you even today? In our Old Testament lesson for the day, we come across King David, the man after God's own heart. David struggled with the guilt of his sin. See, he was kind of a ladies' man. He had an affair with Bathsheba. She had become pregnant, and to cover the sin, he called Uriah back from the front of the war and spoke with him and sent him off home. But Uriah wouldn't go home. He went to the city gate and slept. If my men are in the field, I will not go home. And so the second night, David tries to get him intoxicated and then send him home. But Uriah would have none of it and slept at the gate again. And so David, as a last resort, had Uriah the Hittite put to death by the sword of the Ammonites. And to top it all off, he tried to make himself look like the benevolent king by taking the widow into his own home where she gave birth to her son and he provided for them. From all outward signs, David was the man. What a loving king. He provided for that family who needed him. You see, when the death of Uriah reached the ear of David, David thought he had gotten off the hook. My sin is safely tucked into bed, no pun intended, and I will find no guilt from it again. But as you read through the Psalms, in Psalm 32 it says, when I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside. I mourned all day long. Everybody else had known what had gone on, but David did. And his sin was overwhelming him. Have you ever read the story by Edgar Allan Poe entitled The Telltale Heart? In the story, the main character kills someone, and they bury the remains in his own basement, thinking he had covered over his crime. But then he began to hear the heartbeat of his victim from within the grave. And as time went on, the heartbeat got louder and louder and louder until it finally drove the man mad. But the pounding that he heard was not coming from the grave, it was coming from within his own chest. Guilt. Guilt is what he dealt with, and guilt is what King David was dealing with at the death of Uriah the Hittite. God knew the heart of David, and so he sent his pastor, the prophet Nathan, to David to address the sin. Now, you heard it read just a few moments ago, but let's pretend that you don't know how it all turns out. So you're King David. Now you realize that politicians are not held to the same accountability as we lowly citizens, right? Evidenced even today. When Nathan came to David, David had a number of options at hand. One, tell him to shut up, never mention the word of the sin again, or I will have you killed. Viable option. Option number two is don't wait. Just kill him. Silence the prophet. It's all over. Who else is going to know? The range of options that David had before him were numerous. Do you ever see how sin kind of begins to snowball? They get bigger and bigger. David and Bathsheba is a great example. It started out as lust, looking over from the top of the palace and seeing her bathing, and he stared a little bit too long. Led to adultery, ultimately leading to murder to get us to where we are today. It always snowballs and builds until you get to the point where you confess your sin. Remember the question I asked you just a few moments ago? Have you ever done something so deplorable, so despicable, and so disgraceful that the guilt of that sin still weighs on you today? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with the sin of your life? Are you like King David? I have this cover-up campaign going on, Pastor, and I'm covering it up so nobody can see it. See, that's kind of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, the sin. And then what's the first thing they do? They go and find a fig tree and start making clothes for themselves to cover up what they had done so no one would know. Or maybe you're going after a different way of getting around your sin. We just deny it. You know what? I'm not accountable. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. Or maybe it's we justify it. After all, Pastor, everyone else is doing it. The government says it's legal. It's my parents' fault. Wait a minute. I'm not guilty because I was born this way. No. David responded to his sin. Nathan addressed him, had him red-handed, and David sat there and he had all these options before him. But David would respond, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." David would say, "I know my transgression and my sin is always before me." David confessed his desire for God's mercy and God's love, and he knew that his sin had colored his life black with guilt. His adultery had stained him. And the guilt of the murder of Uriah the Hittite had filled him with guilt and remorse. Before, David didn't block out or justify his sin or try to explain any of his actions to Nathan. He doesn't look for excuses. He simply looks for the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ ultimately gives. David confessed, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." David was well aware of the fact that he had sinned against Bathsheba, that he had sinned against Uriah. But more than anything else, he knew that he had sinned against God by transgressing his law, and the guilt of his sin was overwhelming. So here David speaks out of the depth of sin and doesn't try to justify what he had done. He simply confesses. Do you realize that sin is more than just an action? In other words, I said before, you're not sinners because you sin. You are sinners because you are sin. David would say, surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You sin honestly because of who you are according to the sinful flesh. And David knew it. And his cry to God was, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. He knew that he had sinned against God, but he also knew that God was the only one that could take away the guilt of his sin. He also acknowledged the sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit. God will not reject a heart that is broken and contrite. What does it mean to be contrite? Sometimes if people think contrite means I'm sorry I got caught. But contrite is more, it's more than just feeling bad about our sin, but it's that crushing weight under which the guilt weighs upon us, and that contrition comes forward as a genuine disgust for what we have done and the desire to amend our sinful lives. Lord, I want to be different. There was once a man who wrote a letter to the Internal Revenue Service of Canada with this note included. I haven't been able to sleep lately because I filed my income tax and I deliberately misrepresented my income. I am enclosing a check for $150, and if I can't sleep, I'll send you the rest. Probably not contrition. Contrition is a deep repentance that takes ownership of what we have done, acknowledging who we have sinned against and where forgiveness is to be found. David said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Take away my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. That word wash is more than just kind of like going in the bathroom and washing your hands under the water or polishing them up or whatever. It means to be beaten. You know, those of you who have ever seen, I don't know if anybody here has actually used one, the old washboards. You have to scrub them up and down on that rigid board, and you turn it, you turn it, and you scrub it. Man, it's hard on clothes. But it's the only way to make them clean is to rub them until the sin is all, or the stain is all removed. And David said, Lord, wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Then he goes on to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, carpet cleaning business sometimes offer specials for taking out, removing pet urine from carpets. And they convince people to do it by shutting all the lights off and taking out one of those black light deals. And the black light shines and reflects against the crystals that are in the urine, and then people are disgusted because it's on the floor, and it's on the walls, and it's on the drapes, and it's on the furniture, and it's literally everywhere. One salesman tells the story of a homeowner who begged them to shut the light off. She says, I can't look at it anymore. I don't care what it costs. Please clean it up. Or another woman says, I'll never be comfortable in my house again. The stains were there all the time. It was the light that exposed them. It would have been cruel to show the customer the dog urine or scattered around their house and then saying, you know what? It's too bad. You're stuck with it. There ain't nothing I can do to help you. But in the same way that our Heavenly Father shines the bright beams of His Word into our lives, there are times when you and I need to hear the word of the law. We need to be beaten backed by the law to make us realize that we cannot justify ourselves. Our sin is always before us. We need to understand our need for a Savior. This morning, have you done something that's deplorable, despicable, disgraceful, that the guilt of that sin still weighs on you today? I'll tell you a story about a pastor up near Chicago who was doing baptism for adults, and he had the adults come up to the platform to where he was, and he's going to baptize them. He says, but before you do, I want you to take a piece of paper from the pew in front of you and write your sins down on there, and when you come forward, there's a cross here, nail it on the cross and then come over and be baptized. The pastor shared a letter that he received from a woman a few days later. She writes these words, I remember my fear. In fact, it was the most fear I remember in my life. I wrote as tiny as I could on that piece of paper the word abortion. I was so scared someone would open that paper and read it and find out that it was me. I wanted to get up and walk out of the auditorium during the service. The guilt and fear were so strong. Then it was my turn. And I came forward to the cross and I pinned that paper there. I was directed to the pastor to be baptized. And he looked me straight in the eyes. And I thought for sure that he was going to read this terrible secret I kept from everyone for so long. But instead, I felt like God was telling me, I love you. It's okay. You've been forgiven. I felt so much love for me as a terrible sinner. It's the first time I ever really felt forgiveness and unconditional love. It was unbelievable, indescribable. You know, oftentimes I'm asked why I became a Lutheran. I'll tell you the reason why. Because here's where I found where the guilt of sin was taken away. Here's where I found where the gospel preached in all of its truth and purity was addressed to me. To know that in spite of all that I've done, in spite of the dark little secrets in my own life, that God had forgiven me and created in me a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within me. To hear my pastor say, your sins are forgiven in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, changed everything. To kneel at the altar and receive the very flesh and blood of the one who was crucified for all that I have done has changed my life forever. Yeah, there's other vocations I could have chosen. Should have made a lot more money with the phone company. But that wasn't the call that God had for me. This morning, I pray that you have that same peace that God has given to this woman, to me, and that He died to give each of you, to know that you are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.